Joseph Brodsky is a Nobel Prize-winning Russian poet who lives in voluntary exile in America. Since leaving his home, he's made several visits to Venice. He has a new collection of essays about Venice titled Watermark. Critic John Leonard has a review.
Back in Mother Russia, a young Joseph Brodsky dreamt of a Venice, aristocratic, darkish, cold, dimly lit, he says, with twangs of Vivaldi and Cherubini in the background, with Bellini, Tiepolo, Titian-draped female bodies for clouds. I vowed to myself that should I ever get out of my empire, should this eel ever escape the Baltic, the first thing I would do would be to come to Venice, rent a room on the ground floor of some palazzo, so that the waves raised by the passing boats would splash against my window, write a couple of elegies while extinguishing my cigarettes on the damp, stony floor, cough and drink, and when the money got short, instead of boarding a train, buy myself a little Browning and blow my brains out on the spot, unable to die, in Venice, of natural causes. Well, most of us who go to Venice will bring back picture postcards. And if we'd been as clever as Mary McCarthy, we might have brought back one of the best guidebooks ever written. But you have to be a brilliant poet, a Nobel Prize winner, to bring back what Brodsky brought, which is an essay on water and light, space and time, music and love, even a sort of epistemology of metaphor. Watermark floats. In this, it's dreamlike. And as Brodsky tells us, should dreams ever be designated a genre, their main stylistic device would doubtless be the non sequitur. Although there are epigrams like dolphins in this dream pool, and witty, sometimes ferocious remarks on Freud and Pound and Stravinsky, on the bull in the labyrinth and the plague in literature, the language of Brodsky ripples inward. The boat's slow progress through the night, he says, was like the passage of coherent thought through the subconscious. For 17 years, every winter break from the American university where he teaches, Brodsky has gone to Venice, a city that returns to him not his identity, but his anonymity. A city, he says, narcissistic enough to turn your mind into an amalgam, unburdening it of its depths. Look at the zinc-covered cupolas, like teapots, and the campaniles, like melting spoons. No egoist can stare for long in this porcelain setting by crystal water, for it steals the show. But there's something fishy about Venice, too. Streets meandering like eels bring us to a flounder of a campo with the cathedral in the middle of it, barnacled by saints. And the eye that swims in such beauty is also a form of marine life, our only raw, fish-like internal organ. It darts, flaps, oscillates, dives, rolls up. Its exposed jelly dwells with atavistic joy on reflected palazzi, spiky heels, gondolas. And here Brodsky gets tricky. It is as though space, he says, cognizant here more than any place else of its inferiority to time, answers it with the only property time doesn't possess, with beauty. And that's why water takes this answer, twists it, wallops it, and shreds it, but ultimately carries it by and large intact, off into the Adriatic. And what is beauty but, quote, the distribution of light in a fashion most congenial to one's retina? Which leads Brodsky, after digressing on music, canals as bars, tides as scores, gondolas as violins, to consider love, and fidelity, and betrayal. Love, he defines, as an affair between a reflection and its object. And suddenly it occurs to me that these reflections in his golden eye are tears, that the poet has something more personal in mind, that Venice is just an excuse to dream about Venus.
John Leonard is media critic for CBS Sunday Morning. He reviewed Watermark by Joseph Brodsky.